morning, friends. This is Joel Martin with you for the Everlasting Word. Now, today's message is going to come from the book of Jonah, chapter 3. And the thought of today's message is God's continual miracles. Now, we know in the book of Jonah that Jonah was swallowed by a whale, or some people would say a great fish. And God allowed him to live through that ordeal, and that was a miracle in itself. And that when it got to the time where Jonah repented of his sins, asked for forgiveness, we know that the whale or great fish vomited him out onto dry land, which gets us to the beginning of chapter 3. So here's Jonah standing on dry ground. Now, do you think this is the first miracle we think about here at the very end of chapter 2? Do you think that the whale or great fish just randomly vomited Jonah out onto dry ground just in some random place? No, God directed the whale to exactly where he wanted Jonah to land on dry ground. So we see here the miracle here where God is in control of everything. He's in control of man. He's in control of nature. He's in control of the beast. He's in control of everything. So God directed that whale for exactly to where he wanted Jonah to land on dry ground. And it was somewhere, I believe it was somewhere that Jonah was familiar with and he knew exactly what direction that Nineveh was. So as we stop to think about it, what do you think where we read verse 1 in chapter 3 and it says, "And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time." So what do you think Jonah's state of mind was right here at the beginning of chapter 3? When he's on dry ground, he has survived the belly of the whale for 3 days and three nights. Jonah could have been thinking, will God ever speak to me again? Has it been wasted? But yet God speaks to him the second time. The task of going to Nineveh was not going to be reassigned to someone else. And on top of that, God's command did not change. It does not matter how we react to God's command, how we behave, anything. Nothing will change God's command. But yet, through God's grace, he spoke to Jonah the second time. So, friends, that tells us if we will just humble ourselves before a holy and a righteous God, if we humble ourselves and meet his condition, if we draw nigh unto him and he will draw nigh unto us and he will speak to us. So it says in verse 2, God says, "Arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee." So now, Jonah is given the second chance. The command has not changed. He's still to go to Nineveh. But at this time, he does not know what the message is going to be. He will be given the message at the right time and in God's time. But right now, he's just told to go to Nineveh. Now, we think about some characteristics of Nineveh. Nineveh is located in modern-day Iraq, in the northern part of modern-day Iraq. The city of Nineveh was heavily guarded by massive stone walls. These walls were incredibly large, and there were guards everywhere. And Nineveh worshipped this pagan god called Dagon. And there's no coincidence here. Here's Jonah in the belly of a whale for 3 days and three nights. And the pagan god which the Ninevites worshipped was a fish god. So It says in verse 3, so Jonah arose and went unto Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now, Nineveh was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey. So what that means is the perimeter around Nineveh was about 60 miles. So it's estimated back in that time that a man could travel about 20 miles a day on foot. So it would take him about 3 days to go around the city of Nineveh. And it says in verse 4, and Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey, and he cried and said, yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. Now, here's what we need to think about. We've already pointed out that Nineveh was a city that had massive walls around its perimeter. They were protected. The inside of the city of Nineveh was protected by these massive walls. And there were guards stationed everywhere on these walls. So how does a single unarmed Jew get inside of these walls? Speaking of man, it's absolutely impossible for Jonah to get inside of the walls of Nineveh. Because for all we know, the guards might have thought that Jonah was a spy. He was being sent by one of their enemies to spy out, to carry back intelligence or whatever. So humanly speaking, it was impossible for Jonah to get inside of those walls. Hence, a miracle of God. When God gives us the command, he will open the door, regardless of the obstacle that's in front of us. Now, we don't know exactly how Jonah got inside of the walls of Nineveh, but through God's grace and God's power, Jonah got inside of those walls. It's not up to us to determine how it's going to happen. It's up to us to be obedient to God and follow his direction and let God work out the details. So there was a detail there that Jonah couldn't figure out, that was beyond Jonah, that was beyond his strength, that was beyond anything he could do. But God opened the door of those walls some way, somehow, and Jonah got in. So now what I find interesting, so Jonah goes in and he preaches the message, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. Now what I want you to think about here, when Jonah was told to go to Nineveh the first time, he ran. He ran. He was going to Tarsus. But here's the people of Nineveh being given a message, yet in 40 days, you're going to be overthrown, or you could reword that to say you're going to be destroyed. Does any of the people of Nineveh run? It's not recorded that they did. It says in verse 5, it says, so the people of Nineveh believed God. It could be worded that so the people of Nineveh believed Jonah, but that's not what it says. It says, so the people of Nineveh believed God. So they believed that that message that Jonah was preaching to them was straight from the throne room of God. So it says, and they proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth, from the greatest of them, even to the least of them. So what we have to ask ourselves on how the people of Nineveh reacted. So we have to keep in mind that the people of Nineveh was a godless people. Yes, they were ignorant of the true and the living God. Yes, they worshiped their pagan gods, but they were ignorant of the true and the living God. And they were an absolutely violent, barbarous type people. But yet it says when they believed the message, that they proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth. So they denied themselves. They denied themselves food, they denied themselves all the fancy things, if you will, of life. They put them aside, they put on sackcloth to show humility. So then we have to ask ourselves, how do we look on sin? Do we mourn over our sin, the sin of our personal sins, the sin of our country, like the Ninevites did here? Do we deny ourselves the pleasures of life? And do we mightily cry out after God because of our sins, because of our country's sins? Do we look at sin the same way the Ninevites do? That's a tough question. And I have to believe our country as a whole, no, we don't look at sin that way. We don't look at ourselves in the mirror and realize that we have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now, we have to ask ourselves, what caused the Ninevites to believe the message? Because if we look at Jonah's message, it just says, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. So where's the repentance part of the message? Is it in the yet 40 days? Possibly. But there was something that caused the Ninevites to believe. Was it simply because this man got inside of the walls and they were amazed that he got inside of the walls and so they believed him? Was it something about how he suffered within the well that he saw the characteristics that he survived the well and it caused him to believe? We don't know. But we do know that true Holy Ghost conviction will bring about repentance. For we know that Jonah was commanded by God to go to Nineveh. And we have to believe that Jonah's message was fueled by the Holy Spirit. It was not Jonah. Jonah was just the vessel. And it was God preaching through Jonah to the Ninevites. And it brought true Holy Ghost conviction. So true Holy Ghost conviction will bring about salvation. Now, another interesting thing is back in these days in the Old Testament, for Israel to be forgiven sins, they had to make a sacrifice. The high priest had to go into the Holy of Holies and offer that sacrifice. But see, the Ninevites didn't offer a sacrifice. All they offered was a broken heart and a contrite spirit. So friends, that's what God is looking for out of me and you, a broken heart and a contrite spirit, to deny ourselves the pleasures of this life and surrender ourselves completely and wholly over Him. You make ourselves a living sacrifice to Him so that He can work through us. And while we lessen ourselves, Christ will increase in us. So it's like Paul said, I will gladly joy in my infirmities. I will gladly joy in my infirmities so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Now we notice in verse 6, it says, for word came unto the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne, and he laid his robe from him and covered him with sackcloth and sat in ashes. And it goes on that he and his nobles, they declared a decree that no man nor beast shall taste anything. Let them not feed, let them not drink, that they may cry mightily out to God so that God would repent of the evil, that God would repent of these things and not destroy them and not overthrow them. For if they repented of their sins, that God would grant them mercy. Can you imagine our president and our Senate, our Congress passing such a decree that this nation shall pray and worship, this nation shall pray to no other except for in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we will worship none other but the true God of heaven who sent his only begotten son? That's amazing. That's essentially what the king and his nobles of Nineveh did. So they humbled themselves, and through all of this, they cried out mightily to God, and Nineveh was spared. But yet there's miracles all in here in chapter 3 about how that God was continually showing his grace to Jonah, showing his grace to Nineveh. And as we dig and dig more and more in his word, we will find these golden nuggets. So that's today's message. As my time is running out, I hope something in this message has been said that's a help to you, and I will be back with you next week. This is Joel Martin.